Well, good evening and welcome to the Christian Link. My name's Leanne and we're here with our host Mark, and we have got a very special guest with us tonight. And you might have seen him on TV before. He's been on 100 Huntley Street. He is Paul Weigel. He is an author, a writer, a filmmaker, and speaker. And he spent his career in communications. Not only has he been on 100 Huntley Street, but he's been on The Home for Christ. And he's also an author. And I've got his book here right in front of me, and I'm excited about it. But you know, he's not only written this awesome book that I'm going to tell you about, but he's also written for many publications, Faith Today, Christian Week, and even the Toronto Star and Metroland Community Newspaper. So, and I'm just looking at his book here, A Journey in the Wilderness, and I'm just reading the back. This is the first time I've met Paul. This is the first time I've seen this book, and I mean, it's got all kinds of stuff in here. Deeper intimacy, overcome difficulties, discern good from evil, walking in the Spirit. I mean, this is not a book that you are going to want to miss. So we're happy to have him here today.
Amen. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
And Paul and I go back a long time. If you didn't hear last month, we knew each other now for probably close to 9-10 years.
Yeah, it's been good too. You've always been an inspiring person to be around. I love your enthusiasm.
Weird, but okay.
We like weird.
Yeah. And like Leanne says, in front of me we have the book, and it has a picture of the wilderness on it, and it's kind of neat. And the words, journey in the wilderness, becoming fruitful in the kingdom. It also has a scripture for all you people that like to go and check your Bible, pull it out. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul thou mayest live. Deuteronomy 36. Now, good question. What's the book all about?
Well, the book is really about how God causes us to mature in him. It's about the walk with God. You know, God doesn't really say, hey, look at, I want to teach you a lot of the knowledge. The way humans most easily learn is when we do something. And so he said, come and follow me. And in following him, he has some objectives. And that's what the book is really about. It's talking about how we can fulfill our destiny in him and be prepared for fruitful ministry. So that's, you know, what the book is about. It uses some examples of some people who did this very well and some people who didn't do it quite as well. And so we learn from those who did well and those who didn't do as well.
But that brings a question. What do you mean by destiny, Paul?
In a person's life, there's three things that are predominant. There's the calling, there is your purpose, and there's your destiny. A calling is an invitation by God to come into the kingdom and be part of his work. The second thing is a purpose. God usually says, I'm calling you to do this, but your purpose is to accomplish this goal. And the destiny is more about arriving at a certain destination. It isn't so much about what you do, but it's what you become, because the kingdom of God is interested in inner transformation. So destiny is a set of characteristics or character traits that God wants to instill in you through walking through circumstances that are opportunities for change.
I just heard people out there say this one question that came to mind. How does God do that, Paul? You know?
Well, you know, Scripture tells us there are three things that you have to overcome. The first thing is you have to overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world. This book is really about overcoming the flesh. Now, the principles, you can apply it to overcoming the devil in part and, you know, overcoming the world. But the real focus of this is how do you overcome the flesh? You know, it's odd that, you know, I've been in the church 35 years. Filled with the Spirit all that time. And very rarely do we talk about the flesh the way Paul talked about the flesh. But there are three things in the kingdom that characterize it. It's love, joy, and peace. And those three characteristics have the counter characteristic. So, for instance, peace and unbelief are the two opposites. So if you have unbelief in your heart, it would manifest itself in fear, and possibly even anger. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to take that away, what do you get? You get peace. And the same thing is true about joy. There is the idolatry. Idolatry, better translated, is priorities that are gone amok. In other words, we have things out of priority. And so when we get them back in priority and we understand who we are in Christ, it brings us great joy. And the last thing, of course, is love, and which is when we do ministry and we do it for motives that are impure, we end up having religion. But when we do it for love, then it not only disarms people and is the real gospel, but it gives us an inner satisfaction of living a life of love.
When you're talking about flesh, most of the circle of friends I hang around, we just call it our bacon's burning. For all of you guys out there, now getting back on a serious note, how does God do this?
Well, our enemies, which are unbelief, idolatry, and wrong motives, cheat us out of our inheritance. So, and when we're first born again, we are given all the promises, but we obviously aren't living in them. But as soon as we are baptized in the Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness, we go into this wilderness, and we often have a promise from God, and the next thing you know, we find ourselves millions of miles from that promise. It just seems like the wheels fell off of your spirituality. And of course, what happens is, you know, you scratch your head. Many people go, I don't get it. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 9:10, Paul talks about how important this message is to the church. He says, this message was given to you for your warning and for your understanding. And the point of it is, the story of the children of Israel is a very good paradigm of God's walking through or working through the children of Israel through these issues. Now, they, of course, didn't have much of a chance because they weren't filled with the Spirit. But the point is that Paul thought this was a very important issue for the church to learn, that they don't end up falling into the idolatry and unbelief and wrong motives that the children of Israel did.
Wow. So this book is written for those people?
Well, obviously, there are some insights in that story that if you go scratch below the surface, you end up finding out, wow, this was really an opportunity for them to repent and to enter into freedom, because their enemies were greater than them. They couldn't do it on their own. And if you're fighting a battle on your own against those enemies, you'll not win. So when God puts you in a circumstance, if you understand what he's going for, then you can respond rightly. You can say, okay, God, I see what you're up to. You really want me to enter into freedom here. You're not punishing me. You're not, you know, I haven't done something wrong. I mean, there's tons of questions that enter a man's heart when he's in that circumstance. But what happens is, if you respond rightly, you end up with freedom.
Wow, totally cool. Are there any examples of Jesus going through this kind of experience?
Well, Jesus obviously went through he was in the wilderness 40 days. The number 40 really talks about completeness. So one can't say, oh, well, he was in the wilderness for 40 days. It really is about completeness or coming to the necessary amount of time. So in every person's life, they may be in the wilderness for a lot longer than 40 days or even 40 years. So the thing is, it takes, you stay in the wilderness until you get all the lessons learned. So, yes, Jesus
went. There's hope for me yet. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Jesus also, at the end of the 40 days in the wilderness, he was tested, it says. And he, of course, did it perfectly. But if you look at the three tests that he did, they were the exact same tests that the children of Israel went through, which were he was questioned on his faith, he was questioned on his idolatry, his identity, and his motives. And, of course, he passed them perfectly. So Jesus is a really good model. We are all followers of Jesus. We're not followers of Moses or the children of Israel. So the beauty of this is that God felt it was important enough that Jesus would actually go through that and also have it recorded in Scripture for our learning and understanding.
Yeah, key word was motives. Got my attention. Yeah. Any few comments about the book?
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few comments I've got over here. And, you know, I'm looking through them all, and it looks like this book's been almost everywhere. We've got a lady from Texas and St. Louis, and it's all over Canada, BC. You know, and it's interesting. Here's another from another radio station here in St. Louis. Thank you, Paul. You've given this word, this wisdom, and this encouragement to all of us who are going through the journey of becoming fruitful in the kingdom. And then there's another lady, and she wants to order like 4 more copies, lady from Texas. And then our own here in Kitchener, your book is packed with incredible insight and encouragement. It is a deeply provocative book. I mean, this goes on and on. This is awesome. I mean, it's manna from heaven, food for my soul. You know, I received your book late last week and read it all over. Wow, I wish this would have been around. I wish this would have been around while I was going through one of my deserts over the past couple of decades. It really would have helped. I mean, this, there's like quite a few things here. This looks like a really, really awesome book. And I'm just reading the back of it here too. And I see here you're a publisher, a photographer, like there's quite a few things here. I mean, and the flesh is something that is so difficult to overcome, you know. I just spent a week down in Georgia, and we were learning about the spirit, but a lot of it's not just the spirits, it's a lot the flesh too. And you know, a lot of it's just overcoming addictions, like whether that's food, which is can be a big addiction, or whether, you know, all kinds of things. And it's like you say, a lot of it's just, it's the flesh as well.
One of the interesting things is that the spirit is at war with the flesh. And when you get into confusion, it's a great sign of the spirit pulling in one direction and the flesh pulling in another. So if you ever have confusion or uncertainty, and I can't figure out what to do, the first thing you do is say, the flesh is at work here, because the spirit isn't double-minded. He knows exactly where he wants to take you. And most times, it means that he's trying to lead you away from the flesh. And so one of those two decisions is the flesh and one is the spirit. So you get confusion, that's a good remedy.
Wow. Before I go on to this other question, I do want to give them your email so they can contact you for the book, and we'll say it again at the end.
Yeah, we have a website. It's called ajourneyinthewilderness.com. And you can go to that site and order a copy and read. We have some excerpts and more information about this whole topic. And just go there and take a look. And I hope you'll enjoy it as much as we did writing it.
And on the Christian Link, we're working on getting the book on there too. And hopefully by the time this airs, that it'll be on there. So
absolutely,
you can go to that www.thechristianlink.ca. Oh, other question that just came to my mind. Has there been any other feedback?
Well, you know, when you're pushing at the edge of what is known and acceptable, and you press a little bit, sometimes you get some feedback. People, like, you know, get challenged or feel uncomfortable about things. So before I started writing this book, I was praying. I was working through what would be in the book, what wouldn't be, and trying to make some decisions about what the focus would be. And God began to speak to me. He said these words. He said, choose poverty. And again, it was one of those words that I really scratched my head. I go like, well, God, I'm really just trying to figure out, you know. But when I started writing, I saw where that fit into the book. And it really was an important part of the book. It was one of those pivotal points. But I know that a lot of people got kind of bent out of shape about it, because I know that the kingdom of God is not about poverty. It's about abundance. It's about provision. And this seems to be a contradiction in theology. But really what it was, you know, in the kingdom, when you die to get life, you give to receive, and you choose poverty to get provision. And you know, Jesus didn't go to the cross to die. He went to live. He looked and trusted the Father for resurrection. And he did that because he knew that he'd be resurrected, but for a purpose. And the purpose was to bring the kingdom of heaven and his lordship to earth.
Well, that was Steve Mitchinson and Answer the Call, and we're here with our guest Paul Weigel, and we're talking about his exciting book.
What are the benefits of walking through this process, Paul?
The book attempts to lay down a path for the reader of what God is trying to do. And of course, the first thing is to identify where you are in the process. So if you can look at the process from 10,000 feet and say, okay, I think that's where I am, it helps. It really does help you to be able to kind of figure out what God might be doing and how you might respond to him. But the big picture is really about learning to walk in the Spirit. You know, the war between the flesh and the spirit is always going on in us. And as Paul said, you know, it's a battle that you take on daily. But there are certain levels of victory that you gain that when God puts you in a set of circumstances and you don't see it as being, why, God, are you leaving? Why are you forsaking me? As Jesus said when he was on the cross, he said, why are you forsaking me? But rather, hey, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get some victory here in my life and better walk in the Spirit. Because when you make those decisions against the flesh is significantly weakened in your life and the Spirit is greatly enhanced. And it's much easier to learn and to know which is the Spirit and which is the flesh.
Wow. So what is God trying to accommodate, not accommodate, but achieve?
Well, really, you know, if you go through a humbling circumstance, many of these circumstances that God designs, they're all different. My set of circumstances, your circumstances would be entirely different. But what God is going for is always the same. It does humble us, and it gives us the opportunity to go further ahead. But when you are humbled, the beauty of it is that's where you find Christ. If you want intimacy with Christ, you have to become humble because Christ is humble. And in being humbled, you slide down this slippery slope only to find Jesus there waiting for you. And it's so intimacy with Christ in a new level. And there's also another benefit, and that is to discern good and evil. The good is to walk in the Spirit. And evil is to walk in the flesh. So,
what would you say to somebody that's out there, and I've heard it comment time and time again, I seem to be in a dry spell that just won't end. And I think I've done everything I can, but it seemingly doesn't happen.
Well, my answer to that is, you know, I don't know why that person is in that circumstance. It could easily be that they're in a wilderness of just waiting on God. It could mean that they have missed God. There's just so many answers. I can't give one and say, this is the answer for everybody. But, you know, if you talk to that person after a while, you'd probably discover that they may have missed a right turn when God was saying, you know, this is your opportunity. They rejected it, and now they're just sort of sitting there. And the way to move forward again in God is to go back to that spot and say, God, have I missed you? And if I have, I'm sorry, I want to get it right, and I want to start walking again.
And naturally, the book would help some of those people.
Well, absolutely.
Understandings, knowledge is any other comments you want to say, some of the stories in the book that you've actually put in there?
The journey in the wilderness really uses the children of Israel. And, you know, of course, they didn't get it right for most of the time. And so we learn what not to do, which is as valuable as learning what is to do, because we see the consequences of their action and we end up saying, gee, I don't want to go there. So that's a good thing. But the children of Israel, here's the really interesting thing is that this is a spiritual journey. Yeah. They did the physical journey, and they had no ability to be able to do this journey. They were doomed to fail. There's just they didn't have the goods to do it. But the amazing thing is it tells us something about God. God thinks that this topic of walking with him through these three stages is important enough to take the people by his name through just this horrendous journey so that we can see in Scripture the message that he has for us. walk with me. This is where success is. This is where walking in the Spirit is going to come from. It's from working through these sets of circumstances that put the flesh to death that will make you fruitful in the kingdom.
Now, on a quick note, we're almost out of time. How important is this for the church today?
Well, we just celebrated Azusa Street last year. It's 100 years of the Spirit of God being poured out in what they call the latter rain. And then if you look at this community that we're in right now, in about 1975, there was a great move of the Spirit to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. And since that time, which is 30 some odd years, immediately after people baptize in the Spirit, they go into the wilderness. Now, we can stay in the wilderness for a long, long time, or we can get this message and move on with God. And I think that the church needs to hear this message so they can respond to God, so that we can be the victorious church that God says he's coming back for.
Amen. And just before we're out of time, your email address?
My email is paul@theforerunner.com. Which is theforerunner project.com.
And let's get the name of the book and where we can order it from.
The book is called A Journey in the Wilderness, Becoming Fruitful in the Kingdom, and it's available at ajourneyinthewilderness.com and also,
hopefully coming soon, www.thechristianlink.ca. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.